Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Today, the official podcast of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Robin Kottke.
I'm David Levin.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Robin.
What a great interview that was with Joe and Alicia about the solar-powered
really
Pleasant Ridge. Stay tuned, folks. After this episode, we're going to have that special feature. Joe and Alicia led the way, along with many others, to bring the installation of solar panels to Pleasant Ridge, which is now up and running, and hear all about it at the end of this segment.
I bet not everyone even knows that we have solar panels
on
the school.
Now you know.
25%
yes,
of our electric needs are covered.
Yes, by 30 panels that were installed in the fall.
It's so great.
By a number of alumni. Stay tuned. Okay, let's talk about what's coming up this week. So many things are happening. It's the bustling season of spring at Pleasant Ridge. Okay, of course, tonight is the celebration of the arts, Friday, April 5th, at the Old Main Building at 6:30 p.m. This is a fundraiser and an intimate evening with Pleasant Ridge faculty, and proceeds go to the Professional Development Fund. That's at 321 East Decker. And then Saturday, April 6th, a lot happening. We've got a kindergarten morning from 10 a.m. to noon. If you want to experience the magic of the kindergarten with your child, be in touch with Jordan Brudas to register. Also Saturday, April 6th, is the clothing swap. Wow, this has really grown in popularity. It's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the school gym. All are invited. And the way the swap works is you bring things, if you have them, that your family no longer needs, that are in good, reusable condition, no obvious rips, stains or tears, please, or lone socks. And you pick up items new to you that your family does need. It's free. It's fun. And it has really grown in popularity. The school office is overflowing with donations, which is so helpful when people bring them ahead of time because it helps us go through and sort and put items where they belong in terms of size. And anyway, it's always a good time.
And you really don't have to bring something, right?
No, it's not. You're not really swapping. So what we say, sometimes people are confused, and it's not, you know, trading the sweater for that snazzy pair of pants. Not at all. If you have something to bring to donate, great. If you don't, that's fine too. You can just come and take a look. And if there are things that your family needs, there you have it. Off you go. Tuesday and Wednesday, April 9th and 10th, the first grade play in the first grade classroom. I believe that play is The Story of Tatterhorn. I think I got that right. Anyway, it's sure to delight if you are able to come. Again, that is 9 a.m. in the first grade classroom, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 9th and 10th.
It's going to be cute.
Yes. Friday and Saturday, April 12th and 13th is the eighth grade play. This is going to be epic. It's at the Landmark Center Auditorium. It is Les Miserables, 6:30 p.m. on Friday, 4 p.m. on Saturday. Of course, spring break is Monday, April 15th through Monday, the 22nd. There's no school. There's no school on Monday, the 22nd?
I believe that's correct.
Oh, okay.
It was the school lunch calendar that made us realize 22nd is off, and then we double-checked, and it was.
Oh, that's really good to know. Okay, maybe we can extend our vacation.
Is that Reading Buddy, I can't remember the name of that. Is that happening that weekend also?
Oh, yes. Thank you, David. On the 11th, April 11th, we are hosting the Journal Buddies program breakfast at the school. We've been participating the last few years. This is an award-winning program through McIntosh Memorial Library in partnership with Viroqua Area Schools and the Homeschool Group, whereby the sixth graders choose a book and adult members from the community join them, and they correspond back and forth about the book that they're reading. And this culminates in the Journal Buddy Breakfast that is happening at our school this year. We're so pleased to host.
Nice.
And one of the other sweet things about this year's breakfast is that all of those students are planning to stay after and head over to the Landmark Center right next door and take in Les Miserables by the eighth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be a full house.
It is. And It really will be. And it will be, the breakfast will be continental style, and it should be a great time. And wow, this play, I'm telling you guys, Kathy Brummer and Marianne Miro have been in my office, which is also the costume closet, every day, just making the magic happen. And I've been able to listen to the beautiful music coming out of the auditorium, and I can't wait to see this play come together and be in the audience because it sounds so good. And, you know, the eighth graders have come in and they're trying on the dresses, and, you know, it's just been such a joy to watch. Some complaints about, you know, what they have to wear, but they're pretty good sports. Especially, you know, I think about myself in seventh and eighth grade, and you know, these children have confidence in spades, and I think that their education at Pleasant Ridge is such a huge part of that.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Something else to round out the Les Miserables play block. There will be a French dinner in the gym on Friday, April 12th at 5 p.m. This is a fundraiser for the eighth grade class trip. You know that with this group, it's going to be delicious. Do you know what they're serving?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, you'll have to come and find out. Something else to note about the play, a disclaimer that Betty Link, the eighth grade teacher, put in, is that the play does have quite a lot of shooting and death, so you may want to preview it before bringing little ones. So the Viroqua Parks and Recreation Department 2019 Activity Guide and the 2019 Viroqua Area School Summer School Program Guide are out. Copies of these brochures are available on top of the parent library shelf across from the third grade classroom. Registration began April 1st for the Park and Rec programs, and the last day for registration is April 30th. Registration for the summer school programs is from March 28th through April 17th. Always great offerings. Keep in mind that Pleasant Ridge will have a robust summer program again this year, and that should be coming out shortly. There are some upcoming enrichment days, April 15th, 16th, and 17th. If you are not planning on vacationing during spring break and you need someplace for your children to be during that time, please consider signing them up for an enrichment day. Join Miss Sequoia for a fun day of seasonal crafting, outside play, and games. Registration forms are available across from the office door, and rates are $30 per day, and the day runs from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. I want to give a shout out to the Fiorella family. We're so delighted to see that Sullivan Fiorella has returned, and he has joined Mr. Schmidt's fifth grade class. You can find the family's contact information in this year's directory. Some mowing help is needed. The facilities committee is looking for volunteers to help mow the school grounds during the growing season. Pleasant Ridge provides the mowers and gasoline. All you have to do is show up and mow. There will be an extremely flexible schedule. Extremely. That can accommodate anyone. Volunteers will be put into teams to make things manageable. Email Jason Cole at jasoncole@gmail.com to sign up. Thanks, Jason, for coordinating that. Jason is on the facilities committee. Do you have 10 minutes to raise $10 for PRWS? Pleasant Ridge parent and State Farm agent Mike Palin has secured a sweet deal for us this month through the State Farm's Quotes for Good campaign. For every person who inquires about an auto, home, renter's, or life insurance quote, State Farm will make a $10 donation to Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School. No purchase is necessary. It's quick, easy, and a win-win all around. Simply mention PRWS and the Quotes for Good partnership to earn a donation for the school. We just got a new camper. And so I called up Mike and said, "Hey, Mike, talk to me about insuring this thing." And, you know, I just thought, why not? It will benefit the school to get the quote. But the quote was so great that I ended up buying the policy.
Nice.
Again, no purchase is necessary. Just give Mike a call. You can do so at 608-783-3999. That's his office. His cell phone number is 541-390-9743, or you may email him too. And his information is available in our school directory. Let me know if you need more information. Volunteer opportunities for the 2019 and 2020 school year. Volunteering for the school can and really should be a gratifying experience, a restorative experience, really. And it's a great opportunity to foster connections and feel more deeply rooted in community. I have certainly found that to be true.
Same here.
We are looking ahead to next school year and seeking volunteers to round out the many committees that keep our school humming. Not interested in joining a committee? No problem. We'd love to plug you in as your schedule, interests, and abilities allow. Please contact me, Robin Kotke, at robin@pleasantridgewaldorf.org or at 637-8504 if you have the following skills and abilities you'd like to share or hone through volunteerism at PRWS. Some of the skills and abilities that we're looking for include event planning and hospitality, facilities help, whether beautifying, repair, or maintenance, filing, organizing, archiving. Do you love doing that? Some people do. I'd love to hear from you. Food kitchen prep parties. We've talked about doing some parties where we come together maybe from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2, 3:30, maybe once a week, to do some food prep for the hot lunch program all at once.
Like a crafting circle.
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, we did some of this to make some pizza dough for the raffle celebration, and that was really fun. And you know, having a bunch of people in the kitchen is often a great time. So we're kind of reimagining what some of our lunch prep will look like next year too. And there may be opportunities during harvest season to do some prep, you know, just for freezing, because we know some of the meals that will come up. So if you're interested in doing something like that, let me know.
It's a great idea.
Thanks. And if you are interested in fundraising opportunities, that's another area where we could use some help. There are many options.
Photography,
gardening, greenhouse tending.
Computer stuff. We could use some help with the website and various. Oh, another one, online marketing. Yes. Anybody's got a feel for like Facebook ads and just that kind of stuff. Could really use some extra hands with that.
Yep. Graphic design. Volunteer recruitment and coordination. Maybe you like to write or edit. There are a number of Pleasant Ridge publications that could use your attention and help. So again, this doesn't necessarily mean joining a committee, although that may be what you want to do too. We also have board elections coming up, but the real work really does happen at the committee level. That's where decisions are made. That's where a lot of the work is done.
Yeah, for sure.
And in order to be eligible for a board, you have to have experience at least a year on one of the committees. So sure. if you're thinking about that, just know that you may want to consider joining a committee. Yeah. And if that's not your bag, that's A-okay. Every little bit helps. You know, it's amazing. You know, I have one parent that I met with today who doesn't have the time nor interest to join a committee necessarily at this time, but has done some really great work around grant research and writing, and said, yeah, I can give an hour or two here and there. So great.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm volunteering right now.
Yes. Yes, you
feeling,
sure are.
I'm feeling restored.
Yes. I'm so glad. David, thank you for volunteering your time for this podcast. It couldn't have happened without you. Okay. So, or if you have other ideas, you know, let us know. I think one of the biggest takeaways from last year's all school meeting was, which did focus around volunteerism, is that this really should be a joyful time. And I shared that, you know, I used to help coordinate the clothing swap, and I still do to some degree, but that ceased being fun for me. It started to become kind of a slog, and doesn't mean that I won't help at all, but it just meant that I needed to focus on a different volunteer activity, and that's okay. Just because you've done something for a while doesn't mean that you have to do it forever.
That's right.
And so maybe it's time to find a new thing.
I think I started on development committee.
Oh.
And then pretty quickly went over. No, I'm sorry. I got that backwards. I started on facilities. Mm-hmm. And then I moved over to development. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up going over to marketing.
Ah.
And I ended up really finding my happiest home there. I've been there for quite a while. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, certainly we're flexible and really appreciate your help. It's volunteering is such a huge part of what makes our school hum. And speaking of volunteer opportunities, how does celebrity status and free lunch sound to you, David?
They both sound good.
Well,
wait, celebrity status, free lunch.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm going to tell you more about it. So, many folks report that helping prep and or serve lunch is one of their favorite ways to volunteer at the school, one that takes little time and is rich with rewards. This is certainly not the lunch lady fella experience or program from your childhood. Whew. No hairnets, no mystery meats or meals involved. The food that's prepared for the children and faculty and staff is organic and locally and responsibly sourced, made with love. But the best part is this. The children, faculty, and staff are always oh so grateful. And you get free food. All that to say, consider joining us for a shift for the April lunch program. You can sign up via Google Docs. There is a link in the Lunchbox Express, or you can contact Therese Lorden for more information. Speaking of Therese and the lunch program, we are still seeking a lunch volunteer coordinator for next year. Therese is graduating with her 8th grader, and we're looking for her replacement. We are reimagining what that role looks like, and we'd love your input. Please let Robin or Therese know if you'd like more information. And please, when you see Therese, please say thank you for her leadership in this role over the past 3 years. So it sounds like we have a few students who performed in the solo ensemble heading to state. Congratulations to Ada Lenars and Peter Levin. Ada will be taking her violin duo along with alum Emma Krings, and Peter will be going along with his cello and Lucia Nannini, also PRWS alum, now over at Youth Initiative High School. Well, the best of luck to them. It sounds like a number of our students performed from grade 6, 7, and 8. And that sounds like that was a really fun...
It was a really good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, the night before that, we had the spring concert.
Oh, right.
Which I hear was just beautiful.
It was a big success.
Great.
It was really lovely.
Well, thank you to Melissa Madura and Stephanie Pedretti and Dodie Whitaker and Kathy Linskins and Margaret Lenars and all of the folks who made that happen. Also, Kathy Bremer and Diane Splinter, who were stage managers. That's a big event to pull off.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. So that's it for this week, folks.
Nice.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And be sure to stay tuned for Solar Power Pleasant Ridge interview with Alicia Leinberger and Joe Lenars.
Yeah. All right, see you next week.
See you next week. We're so glad to have Joe Lenars and Alicia Leinberger joining us today to talk about all things solar-powered Pleasant Ridge. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So tell us about this project. How did this all get started?
Well, it started a little over a year ago in the early spring or maybe late winter of 2018. Keith Ashley Wright came to me as head of the facilities committee and said, I'd really like the school to have solar-powered electric on the roof. And that was the germ of the idea. And it rolled from there.
And people should know that Keith does that everywhere he goes.
Oh, good. That's great.
And he's like a champion of solar wherever he goes. So not surprising.
Some of you may not know that Keith Ashley Wright is also a Pleasant Ridge alum, along with
his
wife,
right,
Catherine Ashley Wright.
Had it not come up before? Or just a particular project started?
It has come up before, but it had been dormant for a number of years.
And we tried it a few years ago with a similar model, and we got it pretty far. And then the sort of the financing setup fell apart at the last moment. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't go forward. And I will say that, you know, it was a little bit, the first time we tried it, it felt even a little bit less, I don't know, positive or I guess it came from outside of the school to inside the school,
right,
versus this was really from Keith on the facilities committee. So it felt much more like the school itself was asking for it. And that always works better.
The process involved, you know, a lot of groups in the school. Obviously, the faculty was very involved with, you know, talking through it, making sure they understood it, making sure they didn't have any, you know, that any concerns about it were addressed. And, you know, all of that influenced the actual implementation of it and really made it something that we're all holding and we all were a part of making happen. So.
Sure. And Joe, you are a parent in the school.
That's right.
You've been on the facilities committee for some time.
Yeah, it's been about 10 years, I think.
Wow.
Pretty much since I've been at the school.
Okay, great. And then you're also the current board president.
Correct.
So you threw your weight around a little bit?
No, there was no weight throwing around. I mean, it's, you know, that's not quite how things work.
Right.
But I, you know, I have been around long enough to know like that. Even something that seems relatively straightforward and simple, which this really wasn't. You know, there were a lot of aspects of it. You know, we don't have extra money in our operating budget. We don't have, you know, unlimited resources in terms of time or money in any aspect. And so this really was something. Plus, you know, we're so intentional, right? And it's like we want to make sure that any concerns about something like this, which is kind of a big deal, you know, Steiner had a lot to say about electricity and and its effects on us. And so, you know, there was a lot to sort through. And so I, you know, I didn't throw weight around, but I had an idea of how we needed to, you know, involve everyone in the process.
Sure. That was really a joke. I mean, that's not your style to throw weight around. Alicia, you come to this as a parent of the school. You are graduating along with your second child this year. And I know that it was really important to you to be able to do this project as part of your family's legacy at the school.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, when they, Joe knows that, luckily we have Joe in the world, let's just say, because even though I definitely felt like, yeah, we really want to make this happen. And, you know, I own a solar energy company, so I do have ways to make things happen. And a lot of that did have to do with donating things to the school. But getting it through the all of the committees and such was definitely Joe's magic. So I'm very grateful to him for doing that, because I feel wonderful about leaving the solar energy for the school.
Sure. Yeah, it's such a gift. Thank you. And so it's an expensive project. But we were able, with your help, Alicia, to get grants for this. And this was not anything that came out of our operating budget. We were able to get this through grants and your own personal donation to the school.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right. And let me just emphasize that without Alicia, this absolutely would not have happened. And the way that we were able to do that funding in a way where nothing came out of our operating budget, really nothing came out of any budget from the school, right? Mm-hmm. This was all done through grants, through a sizable donation from Ethos, Alicia's company, but also through a community funding model that she developed that allowed us as a nonprofit to take advantage of some of the incentives, you know, indirectly that are there for renewable energy projects. And it was because of that that we were able to pull this off. Mm-hmm. And because of her hard work. And, you know, so all the other aspects I was mentioning, like around the system itself and the physical nature of electricity, that's all one side of it. The other side of it was this model, this community funding model that she was bringing that was new, that is kind of groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there was a lot of diligent work on the part
unknown.
On the part of the finance committee,
unknown.
You know, and talking with our the school accountant, who's a specialist in nonprofit, you know, he specializes in working for nonprofits, you know, and just making sure that this whole model was vetted, you know, and it's, you know, groundbreaking in some ways, in that we were able to do this. I just wanted to make sure that it's really clear that it was Alicia's persistence and initiative and dedication to this that made it happen.
Sure. And that's such a great gift. Alicia, we had grants in place. We had a couple of, I remember being at the board meeting when Alicia came to speak to us about, you know, where we were and what the next steps were. And Alicia personally took us over the finish line with your investment from your company. So.
Right. And I mean, I'm accustomed to this because when you're talking with a school or a municipality or people that are entrusted to be the caretakers for a larger body, right? Those folks are always, they feel that responsibility to make sure that everything, that all the dots, I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed and everything checks. And so it's interesting because I know that, and yet I am a person who is very, let's just get it done. Mm-hmm. So it was very helpful that to have not just Joe, but also Alizan and other folks, Keith, of course, that were, and Dan Brown, I think, was really understands the technology, understands the model. It was wonderful to have people work hard at bringing other people into the understanding. And that mm-hmm. was, to me, that's what's most exciting, is really helping people get from this world of like, I don't really understand how all this stuff works and how does it happen, to, oh, I've got some firsthand experience now. I can see this not only for my school, but maybe I can see this in the larger world. Mm-hmm. And those seeds that are planted, you just don't know where those are going to end up and what they're going to turn into, but they feel quite valuable. So
sure.
That's how I see the project and the solar.
I also want to point out that Jim Olson played a role in this. He, you know, and he's, you know, working in a somewhat similar angle as far as the work that he does. But he was also there for all of our meetings and mm-hmm. helping push through and studying our energy usage and making sure we're, you know, doing the right thing. And that's a continuing project, actually, which we don't need to get into the details, but he's continuing to look at our energy usage and trying to optimize that.
Well, sure. He was instrumental in doing some lighting changes within our school last year.
Exactly. Getting mm-hmm. all the LED lighting in the school. So, you know, this is just a continuing piece in this puzzle of trying to make us more energy efficient and responsible.
Great. And then the grants came from Renew Wisconsin.
Right. Renew Wisconsin is a nonprofit organization that has a mission of getting renewable energy in the state.
And it didn't actually come from them. They created a partnership with an organization called Solar for Good. And it's separate. However, they are sort of the administrator. They help get people through that process. But that's a private foundation organization. And then the other was through Focus on Energy, which is a state incentive. And that the money for that incentive, I think this is something that people, I hope, would understand a little better. We all pay for that. That's not tax money. That's all electric customers pay a small fee on their bill, and that's collected together. That money has been slated to go back to energy efficiency and renewables. And now, especially now that we have a new administration, it's working. It works for us. Mm-hmm. So just people should be aware of that in Wisconsin, that most people have some access to those funds to help them in their homes or in their businesses become more energy efficient or to install their own generation.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. And let me just say a little bit more about the Solar for Good grant. I mean, it also was a key part of this working. Without it, we wouldn't have been able to pull off the funding.
Yeah.
And they, you know, their mission, they're dedicated to it. And so it's not just like throwing the check over the wall and saying, have a good time, right? They're very helpful in terms of planning events and community education, and you know, they're kind of holding our hand as much as we need that along the way here as we move forward with the system in place.
Can you tell me about the system itself? I don't know what the installation looks like.
That was my question. How does this work?
I know. What sort of capacity we have?
Well,
what,
one of the cool things about it is you can see it from Youth Initiative High School.
Ah.
So we obviously don't recommend that people climb ladders to get up there. But you can see it from the high school. So you can go up there and look across. And it's a 10-kilowatt system. So that's, I think it's 30 panels from my memory. And we actually ended up, and another person to thank is Gregory Splinter, because he looked into the structural for us to make sure that we were not going to affect the integrity of the roof. And so what we came upon, which was, I think it kind of cool, is it goes right down the center of the hall. So if you can imagine, there's just one line of panels all the way down the center of the hall.
The long
eighth grade hall. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just one long line of panels. And then that is connected to an inverter, and the inverter is outside of the kitchen. So it's not indoors. It's not affecting anyone's environment inside. And then that is... Actually, we're connected right into the grid. We're not even... Normally, we would interconnect inside of the electric service panel, but in this case, it was easier to go just directly into the grid. So the school will get credited for all of the power. They own the kilowatt hours. It's very important that even though the equipment is currently owned by our LLC, the school owns the kilowatt hours, and we have an agreement contract that specifies that. So all of those will be credited to the school. Does that mean?
So the panels are on the eighth grade hallway?
Yeah. Yes.
They must not be, I'm trying to picture the sun direction on that part of the building. It seems like the first grade hallway would all be south facing, potentially side by side. Am I just seeing that wrong?
They're all in a row.
Oh, so they're like
facing,
fish scales,
you know, they're angled
south.
Yeah,
exactly.
I see.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, head on up to the second floor of Youth Initiative High School.
Our solar tour will go through you.
Yes, we're by the development office.
It was
really fun to see some younger alumni
up there,
too.
Oh, can you see it from there?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I had a great time looking out and seeing some recent graduates of Pleasant Ridge and up there helping lift panels and... so this really took a lot of hands.
We had 2 days where we had volunteers and a couple. That was part of the fun, is to get some young folks up there and get their hands on this equipment, on this technology.
One more tech question. So I get confused by this, but when you say 10 kilowatt hours, is that just capacity in any given moment? Or, I mean, how much do you...
10
kilowatts.
I know
it's going to vary in any period. So, like, over the month...
10 kilowatts is the capacity. And then kilowatt hours is the unit of energy that's produced.
So, number of hours it's producing that.
So, for example, if you had full sun, right, and it was producing at maximum capacity for 1 hour, it would produce 10 kilowatt hours.
Okay.
So, yes, you're right on track there.
So, that rating... The 10 kilowatt hour, it's its maximum capacity, its optimal capacity.
Yep.
Okay.
But
great.
It's 10 kilowatts, not 10 kilowatt hours.
Okay, I get it. So at the end of any given month or period, it'll be some multiple of how long it
kilowatt
ran at
hours,
that rate.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you'll have, well, and to mention that, David, I know that you are a little geeky. So we have a monitoring system set up so that we can watch the production in the office. The inverter technology people watch the production as well, in case there's any troubleshooting to do. We can do it very well remotely. But also we can, I'm not sure if anyone has access to that, if you do, but we can give access to seeing that production to anyone who would like to.
Cool.
So you could take a look at that and start to notice you can see how it changes throughout the day.
And what percentage do you expect? I know it's hard to predict, but of our normal usage, will that represent?
25% is what we expect that to,
that's great,
to provide, which is hundreds of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or even thousands.
It's probably 1,000 or so. Yeah.
So
1,200.
Jinx.
So I know that this was done in a couple of different phases. Can you tell us about the phases and also where where we're at now with this project?
Well, so, you know, we had the initial suggestion from Keith, took it from there, kind of went through more of a facilities level assessment of it, talked at the facilities committee on it, and then, development office became involved with the grants, but then the core group, like Alicia and Keith and Jim and I, worked on, you know, on some of the kind of the groundwork of the grant writing and some of the other questions that we knew we needed answered. But then faculty was pulled in and finance. It really was, I mean, the system itself is not that complicated, right? And it's something that Alicia's done many times, and there weren't a lot of questions about what that would look like, but we did have to decide exactly what the layout would be and how it would be financed. And then once everything was green, you know, getting it done did not take long.
Right. So the installation has happened.
It's up and running. It's active.
It is, although it was covered with snow for a lot of the winter. So we know that now. We were not really surprised, but we did have an exceptional amount of snow this year as well. So strangely enough, most of the electricity will be made in the summer.
I see.
And when we're not even in school. However, we're a customer of Xcel Energy, and they do a good job of just taking those kilowatt hours that we produce in the summer, and they will give us a big credit. So when we start school, we'll have this big credit of kilowatt hours that we can use until they're gone. And
I see. So it can kind of be shored up.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I was trying to really imagine how this works, but I think I got it. And so then in the wintertime, do you have to do snow removal on the roof?
No.
So you don't have to worry about maintenance like that.
People who have their systems on the ground often do.
Sure.
But no, we don't need to. I mean, especially because the solar panels should last for multiple generations. You know, they will be producing power for 50 years, 60 years at least. The inverter is a little bit more delicate, and as long as that thing is working, and you know, and by the time that inverter gives out, we have a 20-year warranty on the inverter. So at some point in there, hopefully it will get replaced. And by then, the inverter technology could be different. Who knows? I mean, technology is changing so quickly. Mm-hmm. But the generating power will be there for a very long time. So we're not really worried about losing a few kilowatt hours in the winter. There's not a lot of sun anyway.
Right.
And the angle of the panels is at 10%. So we know that it'll be maximized in the middle of the summer when the sun is very high in the sky. So, you know, luckily Xcel Energy and a lot of utilities understand that solar power in the middle of the summer is very valuable, because that's when we have the highest demands for electricity. And so, it's worthwhile to have that coming into their system. So we're also helping with the grid in terms of helping produce power where we're using it, not necessarily in the school, but just because of the way electricity works, whoever's closest to the school who turns on their electricity will be getting the electrons off of that solar power. Just like water flowing to a place where you turn on a faucet, same thing. It'll be just like that with the electricity. So the surrounding houses, the closest connected on the grid, will be using that power.
Mm. Thank you. I don't know that I understood that before.
So one question, I mean, it was all donations and grants. Had it not been, what do you think the cost of the installation would have been?
Yeah, it would have been $28,000.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, just on its own.
And expect to pay back?
Gosh, it depends. I mean, right, with no incentives whatsoever. I mean, like we said, the electricity is worth about $1,200 a year. Mm-hmm. So $28,000 divided by $1,200 would be your... However, the price of electricity will go up as well. So if you include that escalator, you know, it might be 15 years or so.
Okay.
I would say just on gut.
Sure.
By the time, but as I tell people, you know, if you're thinking about solar, if you don't purchase solar, you still pay the money. Mm-hmm. So you don't save anything by not purchasing solar. You only start saving when you do install solar.
Sure. And you said that that's about 25% of our annual electricity needs. Mm-hmm. So, is there a plan in place to do more? Is it possible?
There are currently no active plans in place. Mm-hmm. We've got some things happening in the future with roof work that might lend itself well to adding more solar. Currently, with the discussions we had around this system, mm-hmm. it's unlikely that we would put more panels right over classrooms.
Sure.
But we have a possibility in the future as the gym roof gets replaced that there might be some there. But that's just a tiny kernel of an idea.
Sure.
Not anything that's actively being worked on.
So we've talked about the phases. Installation is done. It's up and running. And I understand that there is to be an official ribbon cutting. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
It deserves
it'll
a party.
Be fun.
Yes.
And I was just thinking we have to send out some invitations.
So on May 3rd, which is the day we will be celebrating May Day at the school, at the end of the school day at 2:45, we are going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony for this solar array. And, you know, going back to the Solar for Good grant and that organization, they have done this many times before. They're going to help with press releases and things along that line. But they also have a giant pair of scissors that they will be bringing to Viroqua.
That's the best.
It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
But who gets to, so, who's the cutter?
I think it should be several people if it's big enough.
Can they all grab it once?
Yeah, we'll have to work out those details. But I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Will it be up on the roof or will it?
No.
We'll do it on the ground.
And we'll have a big picture. So I'll make sure that we have like a big poster sized picture of it so people mm-hmm. can, you know, virtually see it.
Sure.
And, marvel at its beauty. I find it quite beautiful.
No, it's going to be the end of a great day.
Elegant.
Maple
oh, sure.
dancing.
Yeah.
Selection of the king and queen from the eighth grade.
Celebration.
And,
so.
You know, buying plants at the seventh grade plant sale for your garden.
So many of our folks will already be there.
Right.
My understanding is that it's at 2:45. We're going to have the maypole dance around 12:45. And then there will be some water games. Of course, that's where the eighth grade king and queen, May Day king and queen are chosen by one or two chickens.
Usually one.
Yeah, one chicken.
Okay.
One chicken.
All right. Who will it be this year?
That's such a good
You know,
question.
My favorite part of the May Day Festival is the crowns.
Yes.
Like seeing so many kids, especially I remember, okay, this is a little, but the eighth graders with their crowns. They're all so cool. And then they were wearing their daffodil crowns. It's beautiful.
Yes. And Mr. Shermer and a May Day crown sure is a sweet sight.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, it will be great. And so that will wrap up just a great festival day. Please plan to join us. Thank you so much for being here, Joe and Alicia.
Thank you.
For all your work on behalf of this project.
Thanks for all the work you do.
It's been a real pleasure, I will say.
Yeah, and it really feels good that it's, you know, that it's up and running.
Power to the
such
people.
Such an incredible gift, really.
It feels like that. I, you know, again, like, this is, it'll go somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, we're signing off.
Thank you, again.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.